Gauteng High Court has addressed the legal question concerning the Divorce Amendment Act 1 of 2024 within the context of Muslim marriages. So online, we've got a senior lecturer at the Faculty of Law at UWC, Dr. Ashraf Bulley, to help explain the latest around this. Dr. Ashraf, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you on. So now, according to this scenario detailing the case, we understand it took place in Gauteng. The applicant contended in court papers that she was entitled to interim maintenance and legal costs while divorce proceedings were ongoing despite a talak. Please explain to us exactly what is the status quo? Where does this woman actually stand?
Well, reading the particular case, I think there are a number of issues we have to look at here. That first, the talaq that was issued was basically a contested issue. And in her papers, she still viewed herself as being a spouse. And then in terms of the Divorce Amendment Act, found that she was a spouse because it covers Muslim marriages. And therefore, she launched this interim application, Rule 43.
Now, this Rule 43, Dr. Bulley, you're making reference to, the applicant essentially was eligible to claim relief as a spouse. What exactly does this Rule 43 of the Divorce Amendment Act, what does it actually explain, and how should perhaps other females in a similar scenario or situation pay attention to Rule 43?
So Rule 43 is basically an interim application and forms part of the Uniform Rules of Court. So it's an interim application as it is stated there, and it's when proceedings begin or during the proceedings in matrimonial adjudication issues, but before the end. So it's interim in the sense that it covers issues such as maintenance, contribution to matrimonial action, pending or during, interim care of the children, interim contact with the child. So it's all an interim application. So when the final order of divorce is granted, this interim action basically falls away.
Now, Dr. Bulley, could we say that this particular case in Gauteng could be used not only as an example, but essentially is the baseline? And if we reflect on Sharia law and how this would allow for a female to claim, especially if they've been wronged in the past?
Yeah, that's a very good question that you're mentioning. There are arguments that it could hit a baseline, but I think the judge in this particular matter was very careful and said not every talaq would be in the purview of the court. It was when there is a possible dispute and looking at the overall factors where the court then will offer a discretion in its decision to allow that. So as a baseline, some could argue that this could be the way going forward. And in terms of Sharia law, how does this then affect the female or manage or how to help a claim, in other words? So this seems to be a bit of a slippery slope at the moment that we are facing, and we are facing a conundrum at this particular moment with these type of cases being heard. And we do run the risk that at the end of the day, the courts, like I mentioned earlier, they look at the overall situation of the parties and then come to a decision which I think should be fair and just. And that decision that they do come to, it's also basically an interim decision for the time being.
Does this, Dr. Bulley, the current case in Gauteng, does it once again shed light, not in a positive way, of the difficulties that females have been experiencing within the Islamic community? Not all, but perhaps many to a degree, who have been struggling to find adequate relief, support, and practically just gaining what is entitled to them, what is their right. So is this once again just shedding light on these problems that we are struggling to not only grapple with, but to deal with constructively within our communities?
Yes, it does shed light on problems that our communities are facing at this particular moment. There can be no doubt about that at all. So I would agree with you on that point.
Now, surely there has to be some sort of gaps that we will need to look at to bridge, to fill in terms of Islamic law and the country's law when it comes to a divorce and assets. And many times we find that the female is practically left with very little, at times nothing. And the only perhaps option that many females would then have is looking at recourse. Do I approach the courts? Do I look at various Islamic councils, Islamic institutions, etc.? What would we need to do, Dr. Bulley, to ensure we can address the rights of females adequately, bearing in mind what Islamic law says and currently where our constitution stands and the laws that are enshrined in the constitution that would ensure the rights of females are also upheld?
Yes, thank you for that question. Yes, there are gaps, but one must also realize that we are dealing with divinity on the one hand, and we are dealing with laws made by man himself. So that is already a problem. A conflict does exist. But I think when it comes to divorce, I think from a Muslim perspective, I think sitting down and discussing these issues at grassroots level, making people aware of what your rights are in terms of Islam, what your rights are in terms of the Constitution, we can bridge that gap by having workshops and informing the community as to what rights they have and how to go about enforcing those particular rights.
And your concluding remarks, Dr. Bulley, it would not only center around, which is important, but not only center around the rights of women in Islam and ensuring we continue to elevate their status, but ensuring that they are not treated unjustly.
Yes, that always seems to be a problem at the end of the day. And I think that Islam does elevate the rights of women. I mean, we could debate the issue, and yes, there are certain scholars who would extract certain verses from the Quran who would say that, you know, it's derogatory, unjust towards women. But I would rather urge them to read the full content and get the whole context before just taking out a particular verse and let it stand alone. So I think what we should be actually doing is educating our community. We have marriage classes, for argument's sake, and nobody really wants to speak about divorce. But that is the reality. And I think that is the issue that we actually have to address to actually make this more of a debate at grassroots level in particular. Because at the end of the day, there are obligations on the man, obligations on the women as well. And especially we have to look after the children born from that particular union to make sure that they are cared for and the contact remains. So there is a duty on us, definitely, to actually address this problem.
Dr. Ashraf Bulley, Senior Lecturer, Faculty of Law, UWC. Jazakallah, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Keep well.